You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
So I want you to have a great night. Enjoy it. We've got some special music coming, and then we'll talk to you a little bit. Thank you.
In case y'all can't tell it, I get excited about this stuff. I just love doing the rec room. I love it. We're going to do one more song for you tonight. Brother Strauss is coming to do it. If you know the words, or even if you don't know the words, if you want to sing along with him, it's one called... I don't know who wrote that. But anyway, the name of the song is I Know It Was the Blood. I don't know what it says right there, but...
It almost says?
Okay. I know it was the blood of who?
Jesus.
Of Jesus. Here we go.
Truly, we ought to be thankful tonight and thankful every day of our life because of what was done for us, the gift that was of the blood, because of the fact the sins of on our life. Amen. And so if you know the song, come on and sing it with me. Amen. Thank you. on you.
If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Job. If you don't have a Bible and would like to have one, if you lift your hand up, we got some guys that'll bring you one. Just keep your hand up and they'll get to you. Job chapter 28 and verse 28. I'll talk to you tonight about the fear of the Lord. We don't hear about that much anymore. Many people disagree with it anymore. The phrase, the fear of the Lord, is mentioned 30 times in the Bible. Just like that. And so, some of the things we say might be new, but to most of you, maybe we're just reminding you of something that you already know. Every now and then, I think we need to be reminded. I think about the preacher, the old preacher that was out riding on his bicycle trying to get a little exercise, and he saw a kid standing on a corner with a lawnmower and had a for sale sign on it. And he rode up to the little boy and he said, "Son, how much you want for that mower?" He said, "Sir, I want just enough money to buy me a bicycle." And so the preacher looked the mower over and he said, "Let me ask you a question. Would you trade that mower for my bicycle?" He said, "Well, can I ride it?" And he said, "Sure." Boy rode it around a little bit and come back. And he said, "Yes, sir, we'll trade." And the preacher started trying to start the mower. And he yanked on that thing and he said, "I can't get this thing started." The little boy said, "Sir, you're going to have to cuss it." And he said, "Do what?" He said, "You got to cuss that lawnmower if it starts." And he said, "Son, I'm a preacher. I haven't cussed in years. I don't even know if I can remember how to cuss." Little boy looked at him and said, "You keep yanking on that rope, it'll come to you." So, I'm going to yank on your rope a while tonight. I want it to come to you, see? I want you to get the message. So, Job 28:28 says this, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." This is the first time that the fear of the Lord is mentioned. This is the first book ever written in the Bible. Now, it's not the first book in the Bible, that's the book of Genesis, but in time, it's as when it was written. Job is the first book that was ever written before Moses, before Abraham, before Isaac, before Jacob. And he said that the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. Now, in the book of Psalms, chapter 19 and verse 9, if you want to look at that, it said, "The fear of the Lord is clean." It's just something about the fear of the Lord that'll clean our act up, I'm telling you. Psalms 111:10 said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Notice it didn't say the end of wisdom. It didn't say you've got it all now. He said the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10 both say this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Again, not the end, but the beginning. Now, first, let me say what the fear of the Lord is not, because we have a lot of controversy over this, and we have people today that that they don't want to talk about the fear of the Lord because God is such a good God. And there's no doubt about it, God's a good God. But let me tell you something else about God. For Him to be good, He's got to be honest. Yes. For Him to be good, He's got to be righteous. Yes. For Him to be good, He's got to be truthful. Yes. For Him to be good, He's got to be straight. And God is those things, and don't just take one attribute of God and as if He is none of the other. The fear of God is not reverence. Well, Leland, you say that, but I think it is. Well, let me show you that. Well, we find things in the Bible. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, way over to your right. You get to the book of Revelation, you're too far. come back. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 28 here, says this: "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." They're not one and the same. They're different. There's a reverence and there's a godly fear. Some people say, well, the fear of the Lord is like awe, like I'm really impressed. I stand in awe of God, and that's good, but that's not the fear of the Lord. Turn back to the book of Psalms, where we were a while ago, in chapter 33, and we'll find both of the words mentioned here, showing that they are different. Psalms 33 and verse 8. I hope you're finding it faster than me. Psalms 33:8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." They're two different things. Not the fear of the Lord is not reverential trust. It's not reverence. It's not standing. It is fear. You know what fear is. Every one of us know about fear. We learned about fear. And by the way, that's something, fear must be learned. Do you know that? Because you take a baby will walk right up to a rattlesnake. Because he hadn't learned that fear. A baby will stick its finger in the socket. On an electrical socket. Baby will walk out on the interstate. Fear must be learned. That's why I said it's the beginning of knowledge. You need to learn. You need to learn that some snakes are poisonous. You need to learn that electricity will kill you. You need to learn that some things are bad for us. And we have to be taught that. Now, wisdom is not the same as knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but it's also the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is how to apply the knowledge you got. We got a lot of folks, a lot of knowledge, that are dumber than a rock. My daddy called it horse sense. We call it common sense. To know, it's kind of like every little town has got somebody in it that just their elevator doesn't go top floor. And that was this guy that everybody kind of made fun of in the town. And this was years ago, and they still had blacksmiths. And this guy was over there putting those horseshoes in and getting them red hot and fixing them. And he walked up, and this guy's got a red hot horseshoe, and he said, "What are you doing?" The blacksmith turned to him and said, "I'm fixing this horseshoe." He said, "Can I see it?" And the blacksmith looked around. He said, "You want to see this horseshoe?" He said, "Yes, sir." So he just stuck it out there, and the guy reached, and of course, it's red hot. He drops it just like that. The blacksmith kind of laughs at it, and he said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Nothing. Just don't take me all day to look at the horseshoe." We have to learn some of these things and then have to apply it. Just because we find out that snakes are poisonous doesn't mean that we lock ourselves in our house for the next 20 years. See, we learned they were poisonous, but just in case there's some in Odessa, I won't get out of the house. Just because we learned that electricity can kill us doesn't mean, well, hey, I don't want air conditioning. I don't want electric lights. Wisdom is living with the things that are dangerous and keeping them in their perspective. And we can do that. Now, the question comes up, why should I fear God? And I get all kind of questions with this sometimes. Here's some misconceptions of God. And let me tell you now, just so there'll be no mistake, it is not God as you understand Him. I'm sorry, but God is God. It don't make any difference how you and I understand Him. He's not changing for any of us. Bible said He changeth not. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, somebody said, well, I thought God loved us. Why should we be afraid? Why should we be scared of God? I never doubted that my mom and daddy loved me. And I never doubted that they would make me mine. I've probably shared this with some of you, but my middle son came to see Linda and I one time, and he'd married a girl, had two, a little boy and a little girl, cute as they could be. But they was about a year apart and just into everything. They were alive. Somebody said, well, I had ADD. No, they were just healthy kids. Healthy kids are active, you know. But anyway, I come in and I saw one standing over here with his head down and another one sitting down over here. And I turned my boy, I said, Matt, what's going on here? And he said, well, Dad, we're doing time out. I said, time out. He said, yeah. He said, that's something kind of new. He said, did you ever have to do time out? I said, no. I said, my daddy did. He said, granddaddy did. You mean he knew about time out? I said, yes, he did. He said, well, that's odd. I said, if I messed up, my daddy took time out, whatever he's doing, and come over and whoop my butt. See, psychology has never changed for the good. Let me tell you that. And an amazing thing about that, it worked with me. Let me tell you. Now, my daddy gave me whippings. My mother gave me spankings, and I can tell you there's a big difference. And the big difference was this. I got two whippings. They lasted for about 8 years each. I got a lot of spankings. Mama just spanked. The last spanking I got, I was a sophomore in high school. And I sassed my mother, and she was old-fashioned. You're not going to sass her. And she grabbed a little old belt, and she's standing there, and I'm standing there watching her, and she just beating on me. And I mean, it is nothing. Bless her heart. And I'm just looking at her. And she just wailing. But I knew this. Even though my mom and daddy were divorced, if my daddy had found out I sassed my mother, it'd have been a whole different beating. And I believe that, and Linda will tell you this, I scared my daddy till the day he died. See, I knew that, he died in my home. I could pick him up, had cancer, and I carried him to his bed and put him in. I've often thought of that. How the little boy, he used to take me in the middle of the night to the cellar when the storms came. And he'd pick me up. And here it was, years later, and I'm carrying my daddy. But let me tell you something. I knew not to cross him. He'd wait till I got to sleep and beat me to death. He was just that. Now, did he? I never doubted my daddy loved me. I never doubted that. I knew that I had a place to stay. I knew he would feed me. I knew he cared about me. And he clothed me. And he did all the things that he could do. He was just, he became a very good friend. We passed from that. But I started to say we passed from daddy. So we never did pass that. He was still daddy till the day he died. He's my daddy. But he loved me. But I knew that he would make me mine. And you know what? As I look back over the years, I thank God he did. I thank him for that. We were in Oklahoma last week, and the year before last, when we were up there, the same person that we stayed with, Derek McCammon, who serves on our board, asked me. We were just talking. He said, Leland, if you could call back anybody that you've known over the years that's gone on. If there's anybody that just passed away that you would just like to sit down and talk to again, who would it be? And I didn't even have to think. My daddy. Like to say, hey, daddy. My daddy never got out of the fifth grade. He had to quit and go to work poor. as he could be. His family was poor. His mother died when he was in the fifth grade. And he had to go to work to help. But he was probably the best psychologist I've ever met. He could read people. But I knew he loved me. But I also had that fear, that respect, that dread if I did wrong. Now, let me tell you something. I didn't fear that if things was going good. See, I only worried about him getting hold of me when I'd done something wrong. See, and that's when the fear of God comes in. Somebody every now and then said, well, would God try to hurt us? No, but he does warn us about what will hurt us. But we don't care. We just go ahead and let it hurt us anyway, don't we? We just go ahead and drive. Well, God's just old fogey. But he's told us. He's warned us. He's told us the truth. It's not him that does it. Somebody said, my God is a loving God. He just loves. Yes, he does. Now, if you ever doubt that, go to Calvary. If you want to know if God loves you or not, don't think about how much money you got in your pocket or what kind of trouble you're in today. You go to Calvary. You want to see love? When God gave His only begotten Son, that's love, people. I got 3 boys. I wouldn't give a one of them for all of you. You know what? I wouldn't give one for the other one. But God gave His only Son, gave all that He had. All that He had. So you and I go to heaven. So you never have to question, love, you never have to question if God cares enough about you to help you find a job. If God cares enough about you to help you find a wife or a husband that's a good one. If God cares enough about you to keep you in good health. You don't have to worry about that. He's already, His Son has gone to Calvary. And so He's paid the ultimate sacrifice. Somebody said, well, y'all talk about hell, but my God would send nobody to hell. Well, He doesn't. You send yourself. It's not that He goes over here and says, hey, I think I'll just send you to hell. No. He said, here's the deal. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. The Bible says simply this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, very simple, isn't it? And so, God doesn't make anybody do that. But notice this. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. First book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10. And again, we're in verse 28. I don't know why. Then nearly every verse we've looked at, it was verse 28, from Job to Hebrews to Matthew. But here's what it said. It said, fear not them which kill the body. One thing I've learned, people who fear God do not fear man. People that fear men don't fear God. The psalmist said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. Take your best shot, which can't hurt. But he said, fear him. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know who said that? Jesus Christ. He said, here's who you need to fear. Because see, this is not a game. Life ends in what? Death. Always ends. Statistics are still the same. One birth, one death. Somebody said, well, we're living longer today. Yeah, so I get 6 more years on a cane. Yeah. That I'm going to have 2 extra years on crutches. Or maybe oxygen. But 10 years is not very long, is it? See, truth of the matter is, it doesn't make any difference. We live 100 more years, 200 more years, 300 more years. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. There is a judgment. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And what? After this, the judgment. You and I will stand before Him. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. While heads are bowed, and close your eyes and nobody looking around, if you will. And we just talked about simple things that you're aware of and that you know about. We haven't come up with anything new. But what you do know is that you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You know that. He knows that. Nobody around you may know that. But you know that. But tonight, you are facing that. And you would say, Leland, I've never been saved. Would you pray for me? If that's what you want. Now, if you've never been saved and don't want anybody to pray for you, don't slip up your hand. But if you've never been saved, and would you just pray for me? Would you slip your hand up while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Real quickly, just slip it up. I see your hand, sir, and yours, son. I see your hand. You can put them back down. Anyone else? Yes, sir, I see your hand. Anyone else? Very quickly. Now, here's what we're going to do. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The Bible says, now listen to me carefully. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And this is the condemnation, that they had not believed. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you're trusting Him tonight, and that's all you have to do, is say, Lord, I'm turning my heart, my soul, and my life over to You. I want to be saved tonight. I'm just turning it over to You, and You take it from there. Here's what I want you to do. I want us to stand right now with heads bowed and eyes closed. In a moment, we're going to sing. Or Charles is. But while we stand, heads bowed and eyes closed, here's what I want you to do. As Charles sings, I want you to turn it over to the Lord, and I want you, because He died publicly for you, I want you to step out from where you are and say, I want Jesus Christ as my Savior tonight. I want you to come down and just, if you need somebody to pray with, we've got folks that can do that with you, can show you in the Bible. But if you mean business with God, I want you to do that now. As Brother Charles sings, would you do it? Come on. Just as I am. Nothing to get ready for. Here you are. Would you come? He shed His blood for you. Come on. God bless you, Johnny. Come on. Guys, we don't need to be visiting and talking and grinning. Anyone else? Real quick. Come on. Would you come? Do you mean business? This night goes down into the record books. That's a judgment. You say you remember that night in Odessa, Texas, at the rec room. Would you come? One more verse. No one comes, we're through. Just as I am without one plea. Game, we'll sing one other verse. Nobody comes on this verse, we're through. Don't let it slip by. Still bowed and eyes still closed. Our service has come to an end. There's still some people praying. For those of you that are new Christians or maybe you've trusted Christ tonight, as you leave at that same table where that purple box is that you're going to put your card, would you, there's a little manual there called What Have I Done? It deals with the scriptures on salvation. And then What Do I Do Now? It deals with the scriptures for new Christians, things that they can expect. We'd like to give you one of those, so pick up one of those. Feel free to get one and take it with you. And in the quietness of your room, in your home, you can read it. And we appreciate those of you that are here tonight and for being good during this service. Sometime I have a little problem. A few years ago, I was speaking, and as some of you know, I'll call you down. And there was a guy there that was just laughing and cutting up and carrying on, and I just jumped on him. After the service, I was so embarrassed, I found out he was retarded. So I'm careful not to jump on some of you. I never know. Thank you. The bar is open. Don't forget to pick up your AA slip. Those of you that need to talk to Rick, he's back at the back. Thank you for being here. God bless you.
His name is wonderful, Jesus.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.